Let's take a few moments to pray. Almighty God, we thank you for this glorious Easter morning, and we've heard the scriptures read that announce that Christ is risen. We ask now that as we think about what this all means for us, that you will move in our hearts, that your Spirit will speak to us and touch us in new ways this Easter morn. May your Spirit guide me as I share the words that you've given to me this week. We pray this all in God's holy name. Amen. Bah, humbug! Those were the sentiments of Ebenezer Scrooge about Christmas in the beloved story, A Christmas Carol. Ebenezer hated everything about Christmas and apparently lacked any sign of having the spirit of Christmas within him. And then when the spirit of Christmas yet to come showed him a grave, and he wiped that snow that was covering the gravestone, revealing his name and the fact that he had died, Ebenezer wept with remorse for his negative attitude about Christmas. And he repented for his neglectful and foolish behavior towards others. He feared there was no hope for him, and he was condemned to die. But as the story goes, we know Ebenezer did get a second chance. You could take the story of the Christmas Carol and take Christmas out of it and put Easter into that story very easily. Bah, humbug, was the sentiment of those who condemned Jesus to die on the cross all these years ago when the word started to get out that Jesus' body was not in the grave where it was just placed 3 days earlier. Bah, humbug, is the same sentiment we may know some people who think that about Easter now and the resurrection of Christ, and they think that as Christians we are fools. A young man came to his boss and asked for the day off to attend his grandmother's funeral. Well, of course, his boss said, sure. The next day, when the young man was talking to his boss, the boss asked him, do you believe in the resurrection from the dead? And the young man answered, well, yes. To which the boss replied, interesting, because after you left work yesterday, your grandmother came to visit you. It's hard to fathom how someone could suffer such a cruel execution as Jesus did, die, and then come back to life. Many people would have the same curiosity and wonder how that was even possible, as Trinity did this morning. I've heard descriptions of what happened to Jesus' body as he hung on that awful cross. And it does not paint a pretty picture. Listening to the torture his body endured in great detail made me squirm when I heard that, and I wanted to cover my ears. Suffice it to say, his bones were pulled out of their sockets and some were broken. He slowly bled and suffocated to death. It's easy to think, how could anyone come back to life after enduring that? It was impossible, completely unbelievable, and prove it! People who do not believe in the resurrection of Christ would say today. We could pull out our Bibles and point to the four gospel stories of the resurrection to try to convince them, oh, that it did happen indeed. To those who might say, Jesus was only unconscious and later revived. We could point to the story in Mark that records a Roman soldier told Pilate that Jesus was dead. Or we could turn to the Gospel of John, where we're told a Roman soldier did not break Jesus' legs, which was done many times to hasten death, especially when the Sabbath was close at hand, because, as I said during the children's story, they couldn't wait until the Sabbath to take the body down. They wouldn't be able to do that. They wouldn't be able to anoint it. They would have to get it done before the Sabbath arrived. But the Roman soldier did pierce Jesus in the side to make certain that he was dead. John also tells us that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus wrapped Jesus' body and placed it in the tomb. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us that Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw Jesus' body placed in the tomb. To those who might argue that the women who went to the tomb made a mistake and went to the wrong tomb, we could turn to John, who tells us that Peter and John also went to the very same tomb and found Jesus' body missing. Some might suggest that thieves stole Jesus' body, to which Matthew would argue that the tomb was sealed and guarded by Roman soldiers. Some say maybe the disciples stole Jesus' body, but in Acts 12:2, we read that the disciples were ready to die for their faith. Stealing Jesus' body would have been admitting that their faith was meaningless. Some might even argue that the religious leaders stole Jesus' body to produce it later. That idea has holes in it too. If the religious leaders who lobbied for Jesus' death in the first place had taken Jesus' body, they likely would have produced it right away to stop the rumors of the resurrection. But perhaps the greatest evidence that Jesus arose from the grave, conquering death, is the church. Jesus predicted to his disciples his death and his resurrection, which would occur 3 days later. Had that not happened, just as he said it would, do you think the church would have been born and survived today? When Jesus walked out of the tomb and revealed himself to the men and women who were his disciples, and later to others, the church began coming to life. The good news spread like wildfire as the disciples, having seen the risen Christ, took it to all who would listen, and people believed. The good news has been kept alive and spread all over the world, reaching our ears, our minds, our hearts, so that we too have that opportunity to hear and believe. We are invited to believe, to have faith, without ever having seen or touched the resurrected body of Christ. We believe Jesus arose from the dead. Amen. Amen. The belief we have in the resurrection of Jesus is foundational to the church. It binds us all together as one body, the actual living body of Christ. The church is more than just lessons from the life of a good teacher, a great man that once lived. We have substance in our witness to the world, because we know Jesus arose from the grave. We have substance on which to build our relationship with each other, with God and the world. Jesus, having kept his promise to rise from the dead, gives us reasons, other reasons also, to believe he will keep other promises that he made, like, whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Do you hear Jesus say that? Yeah. He's preparing a place for us in heaven. Yeah. He will answer our prayers, maybe not always exactly the way that we want them to be answered, but he knows what we need best, right? He frees us from sin and shame. He will be with us always. You've heard that, right? Yes, even when we are so distraught that we cannot feel his presence. These are just some of the promises Jesus made to us. And we can have assurance that he will keep all of his promises, just as he kept the promise to rise from the dead. The resurrection is vital to our faith for other reasons. The resurrection of Jesus ensures us that the ruler of God's eternal kingdom will be the living Christ. The living Christ. He's not just some idea, wish, or dream that we came up with. Those who worship idols can have their ideas and their dreams, but idols are not living, therefore are not of substance and lasting worth. We have a living Christ. Jesus' resurrection gives us the assurance that we also will be resurrected. Unlike the character Ebenezer Scrooge, who feared death, we don't need to fear it. Jesus assures us, as he knows firsthand, that there is more to come after this life. We do not need to fear death. A little boy and his father were driving down a country road on a beautiful spring afternoon. Suddenly, out of nowhere, a bumblebee flew in the car window. And since the little boy was deathly allergic to bee stings, he became petrified. His father quickly reached out and he grabbed the bee, squeezed it in his hands, and then released it. But as soon as he let it go, the young son became frantic once again as it buzzed by the little boy. The father sensed his son's terror, and once again he reached out his hand, but this time he pointed to his hand. "You see," he asked, "you don't need to be afraid anymore. I've taken the sting for you." The Christian does not need to be afraid of death because Christ has taken the sting out of death for you. Paul reminds us of this truth in 1 Corinthians 15, 55 to 56. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." We also learn from the resurrection that the power God had to bring Jesus back to life is the same power available to us to bring about new life to our morally and spiritually dead selves. We can experience new life here and now. We don't need to be hostages of our sinful past. We can change and grow and experience the kingdom of God in the here and now. Hallelujah. As you can see, the resurrection is vitally important to us for many reasons. Without it, there would be little on which to base hope for a meaningful life now. Without the resurrection, we would likely be contributors to the attitude of indifference and selfish individuality that is so very prevalent in our society today, creating hatred and division in homes, cities, countries, and yes, even churches. Without the resurrection, we would be captives to our fear of death and without hope for a life after this one. Oh yes, brothers and sisters, we have a wonderful, many wonderful reasons to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, to shout out, Christ is risen. The British minister, W.E. Sangster, began to lose his voice and mobility in the mid-1950s. He had a disease that caused progressive muscular atrophy. He recognized the end was near. So he threw himself into writing and praying. In the midst of his suffering, he pleaded, "Oh God, please let me stay in the struggle. I don't mind if I can no longer be a general, but give me just a regiment to lead." Sangster's voice eventually failed completely, and his legs became useless. On Easter morning, just a few weeks before his death, he took a pen and he shakily wrote his daughter a letter. In it, he said, "It's a terrible thing to wake up on Easter morning and have no voice with which to shout, 'He is risen!' But it would be still more terrible to have a voice and not want to shout." Amen. We have reason to believe in the resurrection. Our faith is emboldened by the resurrection. Jesus arose. Jesus lives today in you and me. Brothers and sisters, shout it from the top of your lungs with me right now. Christ is risen. Oh, you can do better than that. Christ is risen. Amen.